Welcome to Pick Up and Deliver, the podcast where I pick up my audio recorder when I step off the train and deliver an episode to you while I walk home. I'm Brendan Riley. Greetings from Chicago. It is April 13th, 2018, and the day has turned. I recorded an episode earlier today as I was walking the kids home from dropping the kids off from school, and it was a lovely day. I was bragging about the weather, and now it's raining. So, whee! What do they say about weather in the Midwest? If you don't like the weather, just wait 15 minutes. My favorite line from the movie Waiting for Guffman says, "I think with a little bit of effort, we can get that down to 10." Anyway. So I wanted to continue the episode, the topic from the last episode, which if you haven't listened, the last episode was about the idea of free riders. In particular, I talked about it in the context of podcast funding, and in more generally in the terms of freemium media, where you get something for free and then you pay to get more. And the idea of free riders as a both an economic and a moral imperative. But I wanted to talk about it in terms of game design. It's interesting to me to think about games that use the idea of a free rider as part of the economic engine of the game. So I was trying to think about what kinds of games do that. So the situation you'd need to be able to describe something in a game as using a free rider mechanism would be as follows. So for a free rider to operate, there needs to be a system that somebody builds or is built communally that can be used by paying or can be used for free. And the idea would be that if nobody pays for it, the system collapses. But if some people use it, pay to use it, other people can use it for free. Now, this is actually a mechanism that shows up a fair amount in a variety of different games. If you look at games that have action selection, I think the early games, Puerto Rico or San Juan has this a little bit. Race for the Galaxy is the one that I know best that does this, and then a lot of other games have followed suit. Roll for the Galaxy is my preferred version of this mechanism from Tom Lehman, but the basic idea is there are a variety of things that can happen in a round, and each player gets to pick one that happens. You could see this as them paying their one action to get to do the thing. And then anybody else who wants to can also take that action as a free rider. They can do it without having paid their action to do that thing. So a clever player will figure out a rhythm in which they make the most of an action when someone else proposes it. So if somebody proposes the explore action, you want to have your system set up in a way that you can benefit from them proposing the propose action. While ideally, if you propose, say, the trade action, they don't have anything to trade. Or you propose the produce action when they're already full of goods and they don't have a way to get rid of them. The least optional in that situation is where you both propose the same action at the same time and neither of you benefit. Now, it's pretty hard to get the rhythm of being a free, in that case, you want to be a free rider. You want to get as much as you can without having to pay and making the other people do the paying. So that's the goal of that sort of system. It's also pretty hard to achieve because you don't know what the other person's going to pick. You don't always have control over the system. But that's the goal. Another place that free rider emerges in culture in general is where you have a shared system that has to be paid for and some people use it without paying. And I think the place where we would see this happen most in games would be in semi-cooperative games. So semi-cooperative games are ones where the group has to do something to keep the game work, but there's still a winner at the end, right? So if you look at a game like, CO2, Vital Lacerda's famous CO2, which I haven't played, but I understand that this is how it works. In that game, everybody plays energy companies trying to make a buck, but also trying to not destroy the human race through pollution. And everybody is responsible for managing how they use electricity in order to minimize the effect it has on the environment. As part of that, if you fail to minimize the effect the energy use has on the environment, and nobody does their share to maintain a clean environment, then the environment collapses and everybody loses. Similarly, the game Dead of Winter, you could sort of see that. Now, Dead of Winter is not supposed to be a competitive game in that it does not have a single winner at the expense of all other winners. But one of the mechanisms in Dead of Winter is the idea that in order for you to win, you have a motive that is not always helpful to the group motive, right? So let's say in Dead of Winter, you might have a personal motive where your character really wants medicine. Your personal goal is to have 5 medicine at the end of the game. The way that works is if you don't have 5 medicine at the end of the game, you lose, even if the group wins. By contrast, there's also a traitor who can be in the game sometimes, and the traitor's goal is to make everybody else lose. And then they also have to do something in addition. So they have to have 5 medicine and the rest of the group has to lose. So they actually are working at odds with everybody. And that's where the tension of the game comes in, is that you might have the individual motive where you need to hoard medicine, but you need the group to win. But your actions make it look like you're trying to make everybody lose, and so people get mad at you and they vote you out of the colony or whatever. So in that context, the semi-cooperative game has the free rider in the person who doesn't help the cooperative goal, but still gets the benefit of it, i.e. they don't lose. And I think generally people feel they don't like this kind of game where that's the overall mechanism. There are a lot of people who really don't like semi-co-ops because they feel it's too easy to tank the game. If you know you're not going to win, it's too easy to hurt the group goal and lose. But I would say the other thing that's pulling there is that a cooperative game wants you to work with one another. Its goal is altruism. Its goal is to make you work together. But the competitive part of the semi-co-op tells you to work against the other players, and that just actively gets in the way of the sharing, right? It actively encourages you not to free ride. As I thought about it, I don't know how many games there are that have a direct free rider where there's a system that everybody has to pay to use, but you can use it without paying, and there's no immediate downside to you. I guess you could sort of see the buildings in Lords of Waterdeep as having an aspect of that, in that you might not pay to have them built, but then you use them for their benefits. But the owner, the person who built them, also gets a benefit there. So you aren't really free riding so much as giving them, partaking in the offer they've made. I will make this building available to you, but you help me every time you use it. So that's not really a free rider situation. You know, in the end, a free rider is a very difficult thing to work into a game, and I'm not sure you would want it there. Because at its heart, a game feels like it should be fun and fair. And so to have people doing things so that they don't, in a way that they don't have to pay, isn't precisely fun or fair. Which is also why free riding as a activity often feels morally gray. Right? That when people call someone a free rider, or when there's conversations about the free rider, there's a kind of moral taint to it to suggest that if you are a free rider, you are somehow violating the social contract. And of course, it's really interesting in something like the podcasting that I was talking about last episode. A free rider is not violating the moral contract because the podcast is being offered for free by the podcast creator. But then when a podcast creator adds in the imperative of, well, I'm not going to be able to make this unless people support it, then you get the situation where there is now a moral imperative to help. There's an argument to be made for contributing even though the system doesn't require it. Right, in the same way that restaurants in America use tipping to pay servers. Tipping is sort of a free rider situation in that some people, a very small amount these days hopefully, just don't tip well, right? So you go to a restaurant, the restaurant is built sort of around the idea that the server is going to get 15 to 20% of the cost of the food and wine as part of their wages. If you pay less than that, you're free riding on the system. You're using a system that allows you to have service at the restaurant and sets the prices on the food based on the idea that you're going to help pay for that service by tipping over the cost of the food. Similarly, if you ride a train and you don't buy a ticket, you're relying on the fact the system expects everybody to buy a ticket, but some people won't, but the train is still available to you. So, but I don't find a direct analog. You know, I think the co-op games I mentioned, like, or the semi-co-op games like Dead of Winter, are the closest thing I can point to. And the Race for the Galaxy thing is really interesting. But again, neither of these is really free riding in the way that hopping on a train and not paying would be. And in fact, I don't know how a game would function if free riding were somehow allowed, because in a game economy, there is no moral imperative, right? If you're playing a game and the goal of the game is to win by getting the most money or whatever, and the game allows for you to do something without paying, but asks you to pay, but the rules specifically say, like, you can do that without paying, why would you pay? There's no moral imperative or ethical imperative that the goal of common society, of decency to one another, that's excused in a game, right? The goal of the game is to win, and within the rules of the game, you're not obligated to provide any kind of level of decency to other players. And at the same time, some of us, when we're playing, we do operate under that larger moral or ethical code. If you think about something like a negotiation game, Cosmic Encounter, or Game of Thrones, some of us tend to be a bit more upright in the way that we negotiate something like Game of Thrones, as opposed to people who happily violate the rules or happily betray one another in games like that. Yeah, I guess I don't have a good answer for how would you see a free rider in a game. Have I missed a game? Are there games where you do see a clear evidence of a free rider? If so, how would you articulate that? Where do you see free riders in games? Let me know on Board Game Geek. My username is wombat929. I've got threads going in the forum section of the Pick Up and Deliver podcast. Reach out to me on Twitter or by email. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what you think of the show or what you think of this particular idea. Well, that's it for me today. I'm just about at my house, so I hope that your next walk is a little drier than mine was. Thanks for joining me. Bye-bye.
Brought to you by Rattlebox Games.